Hey guys, welcome back to Brain Sick.
Brain sick.
Our podcast where we talk about the sickest of brains.
Only.
And speaking of sick, I'm a little bit sick. As you might be able to hear from the audio. Because you're listening to us. Because you can't really watch us.
That's good. You don't want to see this.
I'd say Andrew looks the best out of the three of us.
I agree.
And I just look fantastic.
6.5 hours of work.
All the
still
time.
Looking so fresh.
Mm-hmm. His hair has a nice like sheen swoosh. To it. Yes, swoosh as well.
I try to maintain my sheen.
Charlie
Martin.
Martin.
Radiant.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Ryan Wilson. That's his name.
Yes, that's right. His name. No, try not to make connections. If you haven't listened to our past episodes, go and listen to them.
Do it.
We reference specifically the Brian Wilson one.
The crazy equals genius. Yeah, it's true every time.
Yeah. Radiant Radish.
That's our thing now.
But the Colton Cultivate.
We're making pens.
We are. I am making pins. I'm still, you know, I was going to cap it again, but whatever. I'll just keep making pins for whenever you want. Oh. Or however people want them until we start making like a little shop or something. I'm thinking about it. So yeah. We'll see. But for now, there's an Instagram post on the Brain Sick Instagram. Wow.
Yes.
BrainSick.podcast. And there's a post that has the clay pins. And if you want one, just comment and we can get it to you for free.
Yes.
So that's a deal.
That's a steal. Steal.
You're losing money if you don't take our pin.
And
I'm losing money.
And
<by making them. laughs>
yeah. But it's a cool pin. It really is. So. It looks really nice.
Okay, good.
I need one. Hello? I don't have one yet. What?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. No, that's fine. Like, it's fine. I just processed that I don't have one yet. Like, I'm not upset.
I wanted to get them to your friends first.
No, yes. Not, like, that's really sweet. Yeah. Shout out to our pals.
Yeah, it's still making more.
Yeah.
I'm in production.
Oh, there were more people who requested them.
Yeah. Yes. And then also shout out to my buddy Ethan, his brother Timothy. So many Tims. He helped me out to pick out this microphone and gave me some tips for audio. So shout out to him for helping us out. And he said he's available for whenever if we have any questions. So that's cool. Also, if you guys didn't listen to the last episode, we did. So last week, about this time, we recorded, or I guess it was Thursday, whatever. We recorded the Sylvia Plath episode, which is this episode. Mm-hmm. And the audio just crept out on us, and we lost pretty much everything and our souls in the process. So
if we sound a little soulless,
that's why.
That's why.
But I did my own little thing, but this is the redo. And hopefully
a couple of my friends, Emma and Emmy, shout out to y'all because they also were a couple of the ones that asked for pins.
Yeah.
They told me that like our voices sound similar.
Oh shit.
On when they were listening to the podcast. Like they started listening to Emma started listening to your episode and she didn't look at the title and she was like she was really confused. She was like, why is Alita like talking about Lydia?
Oh my god.
And she was like, wait.
Oh no. I think the way we talk is we've picked it up from each other.
This is what happens when you are related by blood and you live in close proximity for a large amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yikes.
So what you're saying is one of you needs to adopt an accent.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
All right,
wait,
cool.
That's not...
Well, at least you sound congested.
So lately I've gotten into the habit of speaking in this terrible British accent. And so... in order to perfect my already fantastic skills,
yes,
I'll be speaking purely in a British accent from now on during our podcast, during our audio,
you should go
our
for
radio
Scottish.
Show. Scottish? Yeah.
Channel.
I'm going to try a switch over. Oh.
Channel Lemmy.
Highlanders. Oh, yes.
Wait, he's Scottish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to have subtitles or else I don't know what he's saying.
So good.
Lemmy Show. You should watch it. on Netflix. It's so bizarre that it's good.
Yeah. It's like a satirical social commentary.
And he's like depressed. Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really like, good.
But it's really funny.
I feel like it's very hit or miss for me. Either it's really, really funny or just I've over my head and I'm like, okay, next one, please. Anyway.
Thank you, Matt. Oh my god, Ariana Grande is like coming to town. Like she's
Santa coming Claus to town. Is coming. It's Ariana Grande is coming
to town. Yeah, like really? a couple of guys in my econ class were like, we gotta go to like the Ariana Grande concert. Yeah, I'll see you there.
What?
And they were like, no, just kidding. I wouldn't waste my money on that. My sister's going.
Oh.
I bet.
Well, alright. Wait, like Sacramento?
I think so.
How?
She drove or she flew? I'm not she sure drove. Precisely. She drove.
But where? Isn't the old Warriors? Oracle or no, Kings Stadium? I was trying to think where is Ace big enough. No, Ace of Spades is tiny.
I love that venue.
I know.
But yeah, it's very tiny. Probably, yeah, probably the Kings Arena.
Power Balance Pavilion.
Is that really what it's called?
Yeah, once upon a time.
What is Power Balance?
It was the little bracelet. No, it's the little bracelets they made you wear. That,
oh, the rubber ones? The lipstick?
Yeah, that, like...
Lance Armstrong's missing testicle?
What?
I wanted one so badly.
One of his missing testicles?
Obviously.
Testicles. That's how you... That's correct. My brain was like, that's wrong. But that's how you... Testicle.
Yeah.
One of his balls. Okay.
One of his balls.
Was it balls?
He doesn't have any to spare.
No, I wanted one of the bracelets.
He doesn't have any to spare.
Bracelets?
Oh, that too.
Yeah. No one wants them.
It's a limited edition.
God, it was so quiet.
Limited edition. I don't know if he got ball cancer. I thought it was just like a birthday.
Did he just not have one?
I'm not clear. Apparently, you look.
So
a little...
it made him faster on the bicycle.
Because you gotta worry about
than all the other.
Oh no, you don't have to worry about the bouncing of the jet. No, it was because
it was because the ball, the missing ball.
Yeah. What? He didn't use
balls?
He didn't use drugs.
Oh, he did.
No, he didn't.
He lost.
All
his
he did was thing. Lose his testicle.
Oh, okay.
That's all it. Right. Hello. We might need to cut all of this.
Please.
Just because
Welcome
I don't...
Welcome Brain Sick.
Family-friendly podcast.
Home of the sick PG. Brains.
Parental guidance.
Yeah.
PG-13. Okay, well, we'll kick it up
we
to 13.
We need parental guidance.
M-A.
Really do.
Not rated.
Is that an A or an R?
Oh. N-R. DNR. Do not resuscitate.
I need to sign one of those.
Okay.
No.
You know what I really want right now? I'm sorry, my ears get itchy. And, like, I can't just, like, scratch them. So, like, if I...
That's a good strategy.
Huh?
No, I like it.
I like how much Lydia is laughing at me.
Because it's, like, the inside kind of, right?
Yeah. It's, like, when your tongue gets itchy.
See, I can just, like...
Yeah. It doesn't scratch the itch?
It does.
What?
It, like, loosens the earwax, actually. It's a good...
Do you just, like...
You have to excavate,
it
but it's a good, like, you know, yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
Because okay. Then you don't have to go through so much of the, like,
to loosen it.
Yeah, the unclogging.
Because then you, like, you compact it.
Yeah.
And you just have, like, dams in your ears.
And we can't have that. There should be tools that are more like straws, you know?
Oh, no, they have those little scoops.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, I had to use them because my ears would not unclog, and I had to go to the doctor.
That was bad.
Did yours? I assume yours just finally unclogged.
That's scary. Well, when I went to get that check-in after I had a fever for like 5 days, he was like examining me, and he was like, "I cannot see." And then he was like, "Scrape, scrape," and he was like, "I still can't see." Scrape, scrape. And he was like, "I cannot see into your ear." And then he was like, "Water," and I was like, mm-hmm.
"Do they do the whole thing where they squirt it and then it falls?" Yeah, that's what they had to do. The guy was so nice. He was just like, "I've seen way worse. Don't worry about it." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
The lady who helped me was like, "I love this stuff." She was like, popping pimples and like getting arrow ash. She was like, yes. She has a little collection, just a little jar.
The doctor, she was like, oh, did I miss it? I wanted to see it.
Why? Y'all medical people are dope, but y'all whack.
Yep.
Like, chill.
Summed up.
No, it's cool. It's cool. Those nurses are nice. Nice. Oh, God. Okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So for all y'all who want to skip the fun stuff.
You guys both can't have a Western accent.
I just like to throw
don't
in
worry.
A,
wait,
is
I'm
y'all
not mess
Western?
Yeah.
Southern.
Hey, didn't you send me a post?
Show is me. Australian?
No.
Who?
What are you? G'day, mate. G'day, mate.
Maybe.
You sent me Pirate. A post on the gram, and it was
yeah,
showing
the graphs,
regional graphs.
The country.
And it
the
showed
US.
That y'all comes from the South. Which you would know if you had paid attention.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it's my bad.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he's got it wrong.
My
crikey.
Oh, crikey.
No, I support the y'alls.
I just don't
I support
y'all
any
y'all
and all y'alls.
Okay.
No, I just. Please y'all.
I don't know anymore. You're making me question my y'alls. All my y'alls.
All my y'alls.
All y'all.
So, brains sick.
So we have
Platt. Sick brains.
We are the sick brains.
Featuring.
Clearly.
Help us out.
I'm Lydia. We never did this.
I'm Andrew.
Oh, I'm Alita.
What, did you?
We might have.
Whatever.
I don't know. That was a whole ass 12 minutes ago. That's too long.
It's way too long. How could we recall? Too much to ask.
And today,
we
set things straight.
Yes.
We discuss what must be discussed.
For 2.0.
Sylvia Plath.
Sylvia Plath.
And if you don't know who she is, go get educated, because she is one of the most iconic feminist writers, authors, poetrists. Oh, yes, that's the word. Thank you. Poets of the 20th century.
That was poetristic of you, though.
Is that like altruistic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Poet. I'm still so itchy. My ear is itchy, but it's fine.
We're going to
we
push
rise
through
above.
It.
We push through.
Actually, you know, it might be good that we had to redo it, because in the time, I read The Bell Jar, and I finished it.
Amazing.
So.
Good. Then you should speak on it.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Yes. Good. Perfect. Yes, Sylvia Plath, or Plath. I'm not sure what the correct pronunciation is.
We're
going to
go with Plath.
Yeah, just for the sake of continuity, we're going to go with Plath. And my main sources for this episode... Sorry, I bumped her. Our Wikipedia, real one.
Woo.
Poetry Foundation.
Yeah.
And the novel Sylvia Plath, Method and Madness by Edward Butcher.
Is it a novel or a biography?
Biography, I believe.
They love using the word madness for novels about people with mental illness.
Yeah, that's...
madness. I blocked that in a vault. I forgot that existed.
Unlocked. Okay, so look. Oh my goodness me. She just blew a feather at me. Hello. Howdy. So, Sylvia. She was. We're going to start where we should start.
Yes.
At the beginning.
In the beginning.
7 billion years ago.
There was a bang and a flash.
It was big.
It was
a Sylvia and a Plath.
On October 27th, 1932, in Boston, Massachusetts. Hey. Woo! Yes, ma'am. Dump that tea.
Yeah.
I was like, what's something in Boston? That's funky.
No step on snack.
No step on snack. Is that Boston?
That's the don't tread on me.
Is that Boston?
Isn't that the whole revolution thing?
It's what were they called?
This flag is up on your wall. The Masons? Freemasons?
It's not the Freemasons.
Free Mason! Free him! Free them! raisins. Who is keeping them imprisoned?
I don't know.
Well, we need to have a talk with them.
Yeah.
Step one, figure out who they are. Step two, free talking. Step three, free the Masons.
Yes. It was Paul Revere's buddy. They were all members of the Sons of Liberty, which totally sounds like a biker gang, but they were just...
But isn't that like the...
They were just people who didn't like the cronies. And so, I don't remember...
That's around Revolutionary War, right?
Yeah.
That's why I thought, because the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't a biker gang. They were a horse gang.
They were a horse gang. Yeah. And this guy was like, let's make a flag with a snake on it, because snakes are freaking...
We needed
badass. And everyone was like, no, we don't like... I don't want my flag to say that I'm a snake on it.
Taylor Swift.
No, that's exactly what she wants. That's her branding.
Shout out to you, Taylor.
No.
That's okay.
So that was the flag? No step on snake. Rescinded. You see Riverside? It's got... Sorry, I think it's...
Oh, you're rescinding my acceptance? Cool. No step on set.
So they never actually used it for anything. But people liked it, so now it's...
That's not Don't Tread on Me?
It is.
Oh, yeah. Is this like the original, or is this a spoof?
Oh, that's a spoof. The original wasn't endorsed. They picked another flag. But it was just some guy's idea. Oh. And so then, like, libertarians, like... hopped on to it.
Oh.
Like, that's cool.
Is
like
it
that.
Like the Jesus fish and now they do Darwin?
Yeah.
Like the fillet. He's like ripped his foot. His like fish is like, he's like in a fight. Like, oh my god. Like, who let a fish get that built? Okay. Darwin sure didn't.
He was just watching.
Charles wasn't endorsing this. He was just checking out some finch beaks.
Yeah. Just enjoying himself in the islands.
Having a Galapagos. Which is a fantastic novel by Kurt Vonnegut. Galapagos.
Oh,
go read it. Go read it. I have a copy if you want to borrow it. Not all of you, because y'all can suck it. But Lydia, if you want to borrow it.
Thank you. We still need to do like a little recommendations thing.
Yeah, that's a good episode.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to stop knocking her. If the audio's wacky, blame me. Okay.
Welcome to Brace.
Today we're talking about Sylvia Plath, Boston, Massachusetts, October. Her name came from a combination of the herb salvia and the adjective sylvan, which means pleasantly rural or pastoral. And this really ties in with her father's education scientific background. So her father was a man of science.
I really like that. He like made a name for her. I think that's the cutest thing.
It's really interesting and really cool, and I feel like it's also a good representation of, like, their relationship, because it seems that she was pretty close with her father for those developing years. She published her first poem in the Boston Herald's children's section at the age of 8. 8 years
Prodigy.
Old. Yes, so very early on. And
I think that's a lot of these people. The very early, they showed signs of brilliance.
Yeah, for sure.
But so if your child is very, very smart, watch out. Make sure they're okay.
That's like, I don't know, that's something I think about, though. Like, can we have such brilliance without the negative?
Yeah.
Like,
did Einstein have...
Some people believe that he was on the spectrum, right?
He did.
That's not an issue. That's a
correlation.
That's
not
a
causation.
Positive. Okay. That's a he did something right.
Theory of relativity.
I'm so sorry if we offend anyone.
Did you just come up with that?
Y'all. Wait, did he wear his gun?
Yeah.
Theory of relativity.
Y'all, we out here learning.
Okay. Anyway.
Now you know.
Now, the more you know.
But yes, watch out for your child prodigies. If you're a child.
Or got bonked.
Or you got bonked.
either on the head or the heart.
So if you're either a genius or
not
football
a
player.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out.
Football baby.
Baby. Throw the baby like a football.
Don't fumble.
Do not recommend.
Don't fumble. No, don't stop. Yes, Andrew.
You can catch a football. You can catch a baby.
You, yeah!
You can't speak. You've never seen dodgeball.
But that was a really good reference for having not seen it. Just gonna put that out there. Okay, so the poem that she sent to the editor, she sent it along with a note that explained that she meant for it to describe, quotation, what I see and hear on hot summer nights. And so, this poem, which is titled Poem, from 1941, it reads, hear the crickets chirping in the dewy grass. Bright little fireflies twinkle as they pass. Wish y'all could see Andrew's interpretive dance.
Yeah.
I'm just hand gestures.
No, it was a full on. Full body. Mm-hmm. He broke it down.
He did.
I feel like. Yes. So that was her poem. And as you can tell, it's like very pretty imagery.
Succinct.
Succinct.
It rhymes. It's simple.
Yeah. But it's simple nice. And still conveys so much.
How much can an 8-year-old girl see and hear on a summer night?
A lot.
Right. But like it's.
Yeah, she
beautiful how simple it is.
Yeah, and she really paints an image with such few words.
Yeah.
And yeah,
she knows,
and such
she knows
a,
what she's doing.
Already. Yeah. So, only 8 years old, she's already writing something of this caliber. And this poem marks the beginning of her poetry writing career. From this point on, she began publishing her works in local papers and magazines, and she began keeping a personal journal at age 11, something that she would continue to do throughout her life. Yes, journals are good. She was also artistically inclined in other ways. Like, she won a Scholastic Art and Writing Award in 1947, so she would have been 15 at the time, 14 or 15, for a painting that she did. And she also had an alleged IQ of 160.
That's, what's the word? Approaching
it's
Einstein
good.
Level.
Yes.
It's good. To put it, to say the least. Yes. So she's very gifted, but something that impacted her early on was the death of her father, Professor Otto Emil Plath.
This is what we call the heart bonk.
Yes.
Heart bonk. This was a real big heart bonk.
Mm.
And so I'm just going to go into this story a little bit. I like talked about all of this before, so it makes me a little less motivated to like go through it, but like it's
we don't have to do as much detail either.
Yeah.
If we want to just kind of really get into like the concept.
For sure. Yes.
But
so
they didn't hear it.
Well, it's true, but we don't want to be burned out. We don't want to actually sound soulless.
But when they got snatched last week.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're gonna do our best, guys.
Yeah,
it's okay. Like, no, I mean, just give us like actual like highlights, and then we can dig into that.
For sure. Yes. So, I think the saddest part about his death is that it was really preventable, and
right.
it was really
oh,
just
right.
a neglection of his own
oh, you should
health
go through
and
that.
Body. Yeah. So, like, for example, like one way that he neglected his health was that he would defy the doctor's orders. He's basically like, whatever, shut up. And he would eat whatever he wanted despite being diabetic.
Yeah, I know a guy who did that for a while.
You all know that guy.
Yeah.
We really know that guy.
Yeah.
I think I know the guy too. Not as well as you two, but.
Anyway.
Listen
to your doctors.
Listen to your doctors.
Especially if you're a man of science.
Yeah, you'd think.
It's like a man of his own science.
Oh, but you know, some of those people are like, well, I know everything already, so I don't need your help or your help. So I gotta figure it out.
That's a real dangerous place.
It is. We're talking about that in clinical psych, which sadly I dropped because the timing was bad, but we were talking about therapists burning out and how they need to have self-care and if they can go to someone else if they're having trouble. So
there should be like Therapists Anonymous.
Oh yeah, dear therapist.
Yeah.
Today I am struggling. Oh, we should do like Dear Evan stuff.
Dear Evan.
Yes.
We're gonna have to edit a lot. I hope you're ready, Andrew.
No.
No to editing or no to?
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
what are you doing?
I got my shirt wet. I don't know. That was really cold and like not comfortable. But yeah. It happened. I think I should wear. Okay, this is not what we're talking
are
about.
Are you not wearing?
So, oh, I wasn't going to. Okay.
Oh, no, well, depends on the dress. Depends on the dress.
Sorry. Welcome to Brain Sick.
Brain Sick. Brain Sick. I want to count how many times. Take a shot every time we say welcome to Brain Sick.
We're going to be so wasted.
Alcohol poisoning, here we come. Take a shot of water and hydrate yourself. Okay.
And then have to take a piss.
Okay.
In like 10 minutes.
That's good. As long as it's not too clear. That's bad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. My nutrition class was like, even if it's clear, water clear, it's like there was a range of like color and state, and it was like pure clear, and it was like hydrated to mildly dehydrated.
That's not right.
Like, there was no room for too much.
They're like, no, you can drink all the water in the world, and you will still be a little dehydrated.
Yeah.
You gotta go. You gotta.
There's actually a little chart because I'm interning at the Primate Center and the bathrooms are in the locker rooms. So it's, oh my god, there's always this lab coat that's hanging. So right whenever I open the door, I keep thinking someone's there and it always gives me like a little startle. Anyway, on the inside of the stall, on the door, there's like the little chart that's like, how hydrated are you? And ask the color range. And then it's like, tip, make sure to watch the stream as it goes into the toilet because the water will dilute it.
Oh!
But then someone wrote, like, really? On it.
Like, watch never what you done. About that,
though. Yeah, me neither. My buddy, I guess it's helpful. There's also a bumper sticker someone put on their locker and it was like, is the hokey pokey really what it's all about or something? Something about,
whoa, that's deep.
Yeah, or it's like maybe the hokey pokey is what it's all about. Something like that. And I was like, huh.
I don't know how I feel about that.
All the other lockers just have pictures and stuff.
It's just like, and there's this one.
Asking some philosophical questions.
Just things. No dancing. So, we've established that Mr. Professor Otto Emil Plack, he was like, taking care of myself? No. Just eating whatever I want? Yes. And so, in the middle of 1940, he developed a sore on his toe, and he decided, getting this checked out? No. Waiting to get it checked out until I need hospitalization? Yes. So, he was hospitalized, and months passed without improvement. Honestly, I don't understand how this even happened, because, like, he had a sore on his toe.
Yeah, you'll be walking around and stuff.
Yeah,
it's this whole, like, it's gonna go away, I'm fine.
Yeah, but, like, how did it get so bad?
Yeah.
I don't, it's didn't, a sore. Have,
like, so, like, you stuff? Only yeah. feel pain kind of on the outside, on the surface. So, if there's an infection internally, you don't have anything that registers that.
Because it's dying, right?
It was yeah. traveling.
Yeah, so, like, so it's the whole thing. You can have, like, hemorrhaging or, like, internal bleeding anywhere, and, like, you won't feel it. Mm. Because, like, if you're meant to feel the pain from the outside in. So when you get
from the inside out.
Yeah, when you get something in there, it's like, uh-oh. It's a free agent.
Yeah.
It's undercover. You are. It's not good.
It's true.
Body doesn't have nerves on the inside. Bacteria. It's free real estate. Infection. It's free real estate. No, yeah, for sure. I think that's always, that makes a lot of sense, especially because, yeah, what happened is, like, months went by without any improvement, so I'm not possibly. That's just how long we've been at this bullshit. no, this is good.
Okay, we'll adjust.
And gangrene formed on his toe, so his doctors amputated his toe in an attempt to save the leg. Oh, and let's take a hot second to define gangrene. So this is localized death and decomposition of body tissue.
It's not good.
Not good at all.
See, I've only ever heard of this with people freezing to death on Mount Everest or something.
I suppose that it also makes me think of like soldiers.
And, yeah, like trench foot.
Revolutionary War,
Frost Civil War.
Perhaps. Okay, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah,
frostbite's from extreme temperature, gangrene from infection.
Yes.
But like that process is pretty much the same.
It's just the cause. Yeah. It's the cause that's different. So his was most likely due to bacteria. It also says obstructive circulation, but I think his toe was gone. He wasn't, like, wrapping, like, a string around it. He was like, oh, no, what's going on there?
Yeah.
That's also a treatment thing. I don't know. Okay, anyway. They cut off his toe, but it was too late. It had already been spreading. And so, yeah. Then the doctors cut off his leg, amputated his leg in an attempt to save his life.
Wow.
Yeah. But his body became real weak because, as we mentioned, already struggling with diabetes that he wasn't treating. He had gangrene, and his body was recovering from the surgery, and yeah, now he had an onset of bronchopneumonia. So
that's so crazy. It's like a post alarm in your head.
Exactly. Yeah, go to the doctor, guys. And so he died in the hospital at 9:35 p.m. on November 5th, 1948.
Jeez.
She is 8 years old.
Oh my god.
Yeah, same age she was when she published her first poem.
I think I realized how young she was.
Yeah, she was baby. Yeah, only 8 years old. And so this tragedy had a really deep impact on Sylvia for the rest of her life. This is a heart bonk. Wall heart bonks. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely reflected in her works.
Mm-hmm.
There's one poem titled Daddy that I read in the study. Has really interesting imagery. Another interesting about Sylvia Plath is that she uses a fair amount of like Nazi and like World War II imagery, which has been viewed as like a little controversial by some people. I
brought this up last time. I'll bring it up again. Just like I've seen on Tumblr, people calling her out and saying we should read her stuff because she's she has some like you could say racist or those Nazi Holocaust references. People saying that she's lessening the impact of it and stuff, but
it's just. I mean, like, she grew up in the World War.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't.
No,
those people
think,
on Tumblr didn't.
No, yeah. No, and I think the thing that someone else commented that I really appreciated was that even so, you shouldn't just completely reject everything because there's always going to be something problematic. You should keep it in mind and keep in, you know, with the context and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cancel culture is very real. Look at all the facts. Make sure you have facts.
Yeah.
And also, like, well, a little controversial of me in this day and age, but I just don't feel like things need to be taken that's like seriously all the time, 24/7. Like, I feel like
the tweets resurfacing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like I think we can have a little more grace with people.
Yeah.
And not be. I don't know. It's important to be sensitive about important things, like, of course, and they're like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's
I mean,
just,
there's maybe, like, some people who just don't even realize they're saying something, and then, you know, and just not even, I feel like I've seen people who have just made a comment where they did not mean any harm by it at all. It just, it didn't occur to them that someone could take it offensively, and then they have to kind of go back and be like, oh, I'm really sorry, even though, like, I didn't.
And reacting, upset. Yeah, reacting with, like, rage or, or
cancel them.
Yeah, with such upset without explaining to them what happened, like, doesn't make anything better, because you're not teaching them what was problematic or wrong or hurtful in what they did or said. You're only, like, kind of strengthening their ignorance and, like, building this negative association and, like, I don't know. It's just, it's this thing. It's a bad cycle. So just, like,
Context
and, like, give people a little bit of grace. And, like, if there's something that you feel is wrong, try sitting down and explaining it to them instead of blowing up.
No, I actually, I don't know if we'll keep this in or not, but I remember on Twitter, I think you actually liked something, so that's how I saw it. And it was about pill shaming and how it's ignorant and exhausting. And I found that very interesting. So I got immediately upset because it looked like it was someone who was saying, you don't need pills. You can just live your life and you don't need them. And so I went, so I was immediately enraged because I'm like, what the fuck? There's enough of that, you know, shame going on. But I actually went to his Twitter and the medications he said, they were like lithium and I think he said Lamictal or Seroquel, like those really...
Oh, then, I know, like, what tweet you're talking about. Because the guy was like, he was like, throw that shit all away. Like, you don't need that to live your best life. Gone.
He was so manic. Yeah. And, like, I saw some other videos and he was talking about, like, particles and energy and stuff. So I think, because he said he had been off his medications for, like, a year. And that's about when I had got off my medications and really started losing it. So I was like, okay, like, it's an important point to say we shouldn't shame people for taking pills. But also, like, this was probably not the best way to do it, because he clearly was just shouting, like, that was a call for help for him. So, like, it's, like, she made a good point, but also he's just really sick. So I think it was more like, we should figure out if he's okay than just be upset. So that was just, like, something I thought of.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, for sure. One of her poems was inspired... we're going back to Sylvia.
Yes.
So one of her poems was inspired by a visit to her father's grave. The poem is Electra on Azalea Path. And so a couple of years after his death, her mother relocated their family to Wellesley, Massachusetts. And she then graduated from Bradford Senior High School. Which is now known as Wellesley High School in 1950. Just after graduating, she had her first national publication in Christian Science Monitor.
That's so cool.
Yeah, national publication. So that's a big deal. And so she was still writing. She was getting published. She was really getting out there. But she's dealing with the trauma of losing her dad. So she begins attending Smith College. She lived at Lawrence House, and there's, like, a little plaque outside her old room now, and she was excelling academically. In one of her letters to her mother, she's quoted as writing, "The world is splitting open at my feet like a ripe, juicy watermelon." In her third year there, she became the guest editor of Mademoiselle magazine, which also, as part of that, she was able to go and spend a month in New York City.
Which is very parallel to the Bell Jar.
Exactly. Yeah. The events that transpired in her month stay in New York was inspiration for a lot of the Bell Jar. And it was, which was her only novel, and as we'll get into a little bit more later, it's pretty iconic because of the way it portrays, like, her sinking into depression, the treatment of patients in mental health facilities.
Spoiler alert! Not really. Like,
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, that's her life.
Yeah. It's described as semi-autobiographical, because it was, she drew so heavily from her own experiences. But yes. So, this experience in New York City was very negative, and this kind of was the beginning of like a spiral chain of events that led to her first suicide attempt. So, or her first documented suicide attempt. Yeah. She was also very upset because she wasn't able to meet the poet Dylan Thomas, who was someone that she described as loving more than life itself.
It's a fangirl.
Yeah. True.
Before fangirls.
Thoroughly. Yeah. Like, she was the OG fangirl. Yeah. And a few weeks after this, like, her, she wasn't able to meet up with him, she cut up her legs to see if she had the courage to kill herself. She was already suicidal ideation, just in a bad state. And then the nail in the coffin was that she was denied admission to the Harvard Writing Seminar, something that she really wanted to do, she felt passionate about. And it, I think, like, because she was excelling so much academically and this was the path that she was on, that was probably a pretty big blow to, like, her self-esteem and her identity. So, all this led to her first documented suicide attempt, which also occurred after...
It's a car alarm going off.
I muted it. I don't know if that was the right thing to do.
I think we're okay.
Okay. Oh, no. we'll
just work.
Yeah, we're all awake now. No, we're not. My eye's so itchy.
Lydia's gone.
I'm really out of it. It's okay.
Your chance.
Yeah. You know.
Andrew's not even phased.
No.
I don't know how.
100%.
Hundo.
101.
That's big.
Whoa. 102.
Oh my god.
Fever?
103?
It's getting hot.
I don't know.
107? Go to the doctor! Right.
Get
now.
Get your toe checked out.
Get your gangrene. Do not mess with it. Diabetes? Eat your damn vegetables.
And, yes.
Mess with it. Eat your chocolate. Eat your MC squared.
Eat your insulin.
Your chicken.
Chicken, your chocolate, and your milk.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Okay, so after she began, Sylvia Plath.
Yes.
She began electroconvulsive treatment.
Yeah.
To treat her depression, which in 1952 or 53 was, yes,
just torturous.
Not what it is today. And like the kind of negative stigma surrounding that, like, today, like,
it stems from this.
Yes, because it was
horrifying. Yeah.
Go into detail about that.
Sure. I guess I didn't really go into detail on the last episode. What they do is, for now or back then? Because back then they didn't have a lot of knowledge, and so they did a lot of weird treatments. One of them is the insulin shock treatment,
which she was also treated with later in her life.
Yeah, because I remember that was in the book too, where they inject you with insulin even though you don't need it if you're not diabetic, which could actually make you diabetic.
Ooh.
Or
that makes sense because your body is then, yeah, it's like not making enough
or something,
because it has to.
That might be wrong.
I don't know.
you get fucked up. But it would put you in a coma and you would have like convulsions and stuff. So it was kind of like a weird, like an alternative to electroshock therapy, which is what it was called. But basically what they do is they put electrodes on both sides of the brain. Back then, there was no muscle relaxants or anything, which is what they have now. You're awake for the whole thing and really high voltage. So you are like convulsing your teeth. They had to like put a thing in so you didn't bite off your tongue or so your teeth didn't break. And there are broken bones and stuff. So it's really, it sounded really just like traumatizing. It's
really brutal.
Today, they put you under, they make sure everything's good, they give you muscle relaxants, you're out, and it's a lot more contained. Like,
yes.
They'll only do one side, or if they do both sides, it's a very low voltage, and they know more of what they're doing. So it's not what it used to be, thank God.
Yeah. And it's still, yeah, it's interesting because there's, like, side effects and things.
Yeah.
Too, which I know you
experience. Yeah, I would puke after. Because before it was okay, and then as they started getting more spaced out, I would feel worse. And so I would throw up on the way home or have really bad headaches and some muscle ache. Nothing major, but I could feel it.
Yeah. And a little bit of memory? It affected your memory
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So just, I mean, that's like with the advancements they've made.
Yeah. You're still making your brain seize up your body, so.
So she was already struggling, and then she began electroconvulsive therapy to treat this depression.
Right.
Probably didn't help all that much. And she made her first medically documented suicide attempt on August 24th, 1953.
Woo!
She took her mother's sleeping pills and crawled under her house and stayed there for 3 days. And it was a highly publicized disappearance. It was on the radio stations. It was printed into the newspaper.
The milk cartons.
Milk cartons, perhaps.
Yeah.
I think that's more of like a 60s and 70s thing. But I vibe with it anyway.
Yeah.
There's an image that I found. Of it's like a bunch of clippings from different
headings.
Yeah, headlines of newspapers talking about this, and it's really just it's a little overwhelming to see like how much this was publicized. Described as like the missing Smith girl and all that. But she hid herself pretty well because the police searched the house, but they couldn't find her. She went into the basement. It's this little hideaway, and she restocked the kindling wood so that they couldn't find her.
That's smart. That's not good. But, well, she thought it out.
Yeah, she was prepared. A smart 160 IQ. Yeah. Don't put it to waste. she is described as swallowing 40 sleeping pills. And she was quoted as describing it as blissfully succumbed to the whirling blackness that I honestly believed was eternal oblivion. Ooh. I don't know about y'all, but that just makes me
it's dark.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's like a Tim Burton film. Condensed. It's just one.
Yeah. So then she after this attempt, she spent the next 6 months in psychiatric care, receiving more electric shock therapy and also insulin shock treatment.
Oh, God.
From Dr. Ruth Boischer.
Ruth needs to get a grip. Ruth. Honey, what are you doing?
She's doing her best, but it's just not good.
It's just not good. I'm sorry. I understand that's all you had, but come on.
You could
talk to Ruth today.
Don't do that.
Just talk to him. It might help.
Thank you. Okay, yes. So, after this 6 months of treatment and staying in this facility, she somehow became well enough to return to school. Submitted her thesis, which is on a couple of Dostoevsky's novels, in 1955. So she started,
super impressive.
Yeah,
she's able to do all that.
Exactly.
Still, yeah.
Yeah, she submitted her thesis and like graduated from Smith with highest honors in 5 years. Just incredible considering everything she's
done. 5 years to get through community college.
Which is like.
It's fine.
Yeah, but like just to, give a little bit of. For sure. In addition, when she graduated, she got a Fulbright scholarship, which is a cultural exchange program, and it is really prestigious. That sent her over to Newnham College in England, which is one of the two women-only colleges at the University of Cambridge in England. Throughout all of this, she was actively writing poetry and publishing her works, especially in the student newspaper Varsity. So, moving on. She then went to go study abroad at Cambridge, England. And this is where she met Ted Hughes, her disastrous love.
Another Hughes.
Yeah.
Another Hughes.
Watch out for them Hughes.
Cedric, my friend named Cedric. I got it. I'll let him know.
Watch out.
He needs to watch out.
He also, he flies planes. He has a private plane. His family owns one.
What, how do you know all these kids? Huge, like,
super rich kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
You know those connections.
You know the song? I don't know.
That's, I'll show you guys later. It's a song called Super Rich Kids by Frank Ocean. Featuring someone. I don't know who. Irrelevant. All featuring Frank.
Frank Ocean
featuring, produced by Frank Ocean, directed by Frank Ocean.
Is it like the Leslie Knope at the end? You have to watch Parks and Rec.
One of these days.
And okay, there's a little quotation from a BBC interview, Plath talking about her and Hugh's first meeting. So she says, "I happened to be at Cambridge and I'd read some of Ted's poems in this magazine and I was very impressed and I wanted to meet him. I went to this little celebration and that's actually where we met. Then we saw a great deal of each other. Ted came back to Cambridge and suddenly we found ourselves getting married a few months later. Whoa. We kept writing poems to each other. Then it just grew out of that, I guess. The feeling that we both were writing so much and having such a fine time doing it, we decided that this should keep on. So we're very kind of lighthearted.
Just, yeah.
This is what's happening.
Just fell into it, I guess.
Yeah, and so less than 4 months after meeting each other, they were married.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
1656. And then they honeymooned in Paris, France, and then went to Spain.
That's how you do it. Now take notes.
Also take notes not to abuse your wife.
Yeah, that too.
Or partner, whoever. Because Ted Hughes, our man's, was allegedly abusive. We'll definitely get into that more a little bit later.
Yeah, we will.
But kind of moving forward, they were both young, both writing, and married within a few months of knowing each other. And so they began their lives together. In June 1957, they moved back to the United States. And in September of the same year, Plath began teaching at Smith College, her alma mater. Yes, but she found it really difficult to both teach. She didn't find that it was really her thing, and continue writing.
That's fair.
Which was her true passion. So after a little bit of doing that, in 1958, she moved to Boston. She became a receptionist on the psych ward of Massachusetts General Hospital. And separately, after work, she would go and spend her evenings at lectures that were given by a fellow poet, Robert Lowell. Lowell, perhaps. So Robert Lowell and I think Anna Sexton, I could be wrong. I didn't write down her first name for some reason, but another poet. Yes. They both were really good people because they, good for Sylvia because they encouraged her to write about some of her experiences.
Yeah.
She wasn't really opening up about these darker parts of her life. But she was able to open up about her depression with Lowell and her suicide attempts with Sexton because I think part of it was that she felt more comfortable with Sexton because she was a fellow woman.
Yeah.
And so as she was opening up to people and starting to write about her experiences, in a time when these things were highly stigmatized, it was a hush-hush.
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
You just went on a little vacation for 6 months and
came back with bruises.
Not even a tan.
Yeah.
But with all this, she began viewing herself as a more serious and focused poet and writer. So
surround yourself with those people, man.
Yeah.
Just not the bad ones.
Yeah. Find the good ones, not the bad ones.
Exactly. Words to look. Weed them out. Cultivate your life.
But
don't join a cult.
No, don't do that.
Yes. She resumed psychoanalytic treatment December of 1958. So she's trying to take care of her mental health.
Yeah.
As best she can.
I mean, I really commend her just for trying things.
For sure.
Being open-minded about it.
Yeah. That's, yes. In late 1959, Plath and her husband Hughes stayed at an artist colony in Saratoga Springs, New York, which is where Plath learned to, quotation marks, be true to my own weirdnesses. And so she was still struggling with writing about personal and private things, but she was like growing in her works. They moved back to England, and her daughter Frida was born April of 1960. Yes, it's a little baby. Later that year, in October, she published her first. She published her first collection of poetry, The Colossus, which I also believe was the only collection of poetry that she herself published, because there's been posthumous works that have since been distributed to the world. This was the only one that she set out there.
And it also brings up like the whole, once people tell, should we still publish their stuff?
Yeah, and especially in her case, she didn't leave a will.
Right.
To our knowledge. Write a will.
It's important. So I was actually listening to NPR this morning on my way to an internship, and they're talking about what happens to your Facebook after you die, and you should include that in your will. Apparently, they're like, you need to write a will, because that's important, but also you should include what happens to your social media after you die.
That's a really fair point.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about it. You heard it here first, unless you heard it on NPR. Otherwise, disregard.
Either way, keep listening to podcasts. Yeah. We support it. And go write your will. I want to go write a will now.
Casey,
because you just never know.
One of my best friends from, and that's something. I re-listened to my episode, and I said that I didn't really have any friends. That's false, because Casey was like my best friend. Should I be naming her? Yeah, that's fine. It's positive. She was like my best friend, and that was false, and I felt bad because I was like, that's not true. I did have a really close friend, so she introduced me to all the '80s music. Like, we're Michael Jackson fans, and. She would sing Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up, like, every single day. So I learned all the lyrics to that song.
She still knows them.
I still know them. And we watched Lord of the Rings together. She was, where was I going with this?
Did she write a will?
Yeah, she wrote her will in one of my, I think it's the 8th grade yearbook.
Oh.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, Casey's last will and testament, along with her comics. Anyway, I miss her.
She doesn't write another one. You might be able to.
Yeah. I think she bequeathed me her orange baseball cap.
Oh, that's really soft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We should go visit her.
Yeah.
Go visit.
Yeah, we should.
For sure. So, daughter born April. Poetry collection The Colossus published October. Mm-hmm. And then February of the next year, 1961, her Plath's second pregnancy ended in miscarriage. So
that's a lot happening.
Heartache.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, that's another fascinating thing about Sylvia Plath. She was only 32 years old when she died, but there's so much to talk about with her life, so much that you can delve into. And
it's kind of like Zelda.
Yeah, definitely.
So much happens in such a little time.
It's a lot to wrap your head around. Her miscarriage inspired some of her future works, including Parliament Hill Fields. So here's a little portion of that poem. Also, I've had so much fun doing this episode because poetry.
Yeah.
Poetry, guys.
Oh, we'll have to talk about it later.
Poetry's great.
It's okay if it's not your thing, but give it a chance if you haven't. And if you like it, you're cool.
Last year, I went to Chicago, and me and Katrina, shout out to Katrina again, but it's been a year, and we went to a slam poetry thing, and it was awesome. Yeah, I took videos of the ones I thought were really, there was one girl who was talking about her bipolar disorder. It was really powerful. I really enjoyed it. It was like my first real, because I feel like whenever I read poetry, my eyes kind of glaze over, and I don't know why. But I think that was really nice to get it in person and have them. It was like a performance. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of helped me bridge it a little bit more.
There's this YouTube channel called Button Poetry. Mm-hmm. And they basically just post videos of like slam poetry. I used to be like obsessed. Like I would just go on YouTube and watch it forever because like there's this really good one that this woman did about like her depression and like I've watched it like a handful of times. Like her body is like shaking. Like you can like feel the emotion. Like it's really like moving. It's really an experience. And so it's just, it's really cool because you can feel that vulnerability and feel like the raw emotion in people. And I think things like poetry or like Shakespeare's works, like plays, they are things that were designed to be acted and mm-hmm. things that were designed to be heard, not just read. I think that's really cool that you had that experience and you're able to like see a different side.
Yeah, definitely.
Of poetry. Yeah. A little excerpt from Parliament Hill Field. Your cry fades like the cry of a gnat. I lose sight of you on your blind journey, while the heath grass glitters and the spindling rivulets unpool and spend themselves. Mm. My mind runs with them, pooling in heel prints, fumbling pebble and stem.
Mm. This is when I gave a shout out to Owl City's
album. Five.
The one that came from.
Yeah, Ocean Eyes.
Ocean Eyes.
Because Rivulets uses that in one of his songs, and that's just such a good album. No one knows about, not no one, but most people only know about Fireflies.
I have a friend who buckets me on occasion, so it's when you take your bucket hat and gift it.
That's okay. I thought that was a fishing hat.
I think.
Oh, for context. Andrew has a bunch of hats in his room, and he has distributed them. I'm wearing one of the raccoon hats from, like, Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah.
You have a safari hat from, like, Jumanji. Estudines?
Turtles! Dogs.
And you're wearing a Fisher basket.
Oh, God. No. What? That's one of the ways that the Western Pond Turtle can be endangered is because they choke on fishing tackle.
Oh God! Yeah, we can
or get caught in nets.
That's free the whole thing. Fish. Did you see that video?
By other
fish. I was just about to bring. Did you see that video on Twitter? Like they were setting. I'll show it to you.
Wait, maybe.
Was it a catfish or?
It looked like a catfish.
It was just like. So they're like putting him in, and it's just like.
You know, it's the fittest. It is. You know, it happens. All part of the food
chain. So okay. We were talking about rivulets.
Yes.
Whatnot.
Only less than 6 months, which is a mass. Six months after this miscarriage, she finished writing The Bell Jar, which is her semi-up. Awful novel, as we mentioned before. So she finished writing it. She didn't publish it yet. And, like, oh my God. There's still so much to go over, but, like, okay, so it's just, like, so much happens in such a short period of time, and I don't understand how. So she finished writing that. And her son, Nicholas, is born January of 1962. So, with this, I've also made a note that Hughes began to keep bees.
That's right.
Just because.
Duh.
Sounds fun.
It really does. Because they're like...
Honey. From my honey.
Like, there are like no cons. You know? Okay.
We're getting stung. I mean,
let
maybe.
Let me revise. If you will go into anaphylactic shock because a bee has gone to you, maybe reconsider beekeeping. But...
If not...
That just
it's
might be
not,
a hobby.
Yeah.
Hobby. You can be the next bird. First bees.
Bird.
I listened to the How I Built This for your face.
For John, I love like, Bert.
No, he's dead.
Ah!
You can still love him.
I guess.
Oh my God!
It was his party.
As if this episode wasn't brutal enough? Okay.
He lives on in our hearts and on our packaging.
On our lips.
Yes. We kiss him every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Not over his dead body.
Not under. We don't know where he's buried. That'd be ridiculous. So if we don't, I don't know. I'm like concerned. This is a 4-hour special.
Welcome to make up for last week's.
Yeah.
No editing, guys. Okay. Honestly.
Okay. It's plus work for us.
Let's just
have
faith
in our process.
Our process and in the spirit of the podcast.
We need to take a picture.
We need to be our true selves.
Yes. Wait,
which we are being right now. Unless you want to swap, rotate hats.
No, I like mine.
So we each get a good. Okay, I like yours too.
Yeah, thank you.
It suits you.
I feel like these suit us.
Actually, I knew what I was doing.
Should we switch?
Or you could put.
You wanted to put the mask on?
Oh, I didn't know that was an option.
You know, that's supposed to be like a representation of like
female
beauty.
Yeah.
With the sunglasses too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In the eyeballs.
That's the whole package. That's it. Y'all really don't understand.
No, I wish there could be.
Oh my god, wait, the homeless painting is really pretty. Because it's like shiny.
Yeah, it's glitter.
It's glitter.
I didn't know it.
It's glitter glue.
I didn't know.
For more context.
The homeless painting.
And your bot.
My room is a bona fide gallery.
Honestly.
Arabian Night.
Open art gallery. Y'all are welcome to.
Oh yeah.
Actually. There's a lot of interesting stuff in here.
I'm going to just invite everyone to.
You know, charge at the door.
I will leave the address in the description. No, I won't. I won't.
It's open for business.
Did that, did your artwork that was at the...
Oh, at the house.
Did it get snatched? Did it get sold?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Andrew's buddy is in a band, and they played at his house party. And Andrew was invited to put up some of his art. And...
Shout out to Brain Melter.
Yeah. And the Soup Boys.
The Soup Boys at Brain Melter.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Mansion. It's down there.
Yeah.
Go to the Magic Mansion. You'll see.
We cannot link.
They out there. We out there. Well, they still charged us to get in.
That was lame. We got free stickers. But it was a paltry.
Math monster.
Math monster.
That was worth any entrance.
Honestly, you should put it online. I would play. It was basically if you it gave you addition. Was it just addition?
Also,
I don't remember.
It was all kinds of. It was everything.
Oh, was it?
I think so.
It was just like addition and subtraction. Because I was able to do it.
Oh, you have to hire the creator.
But if you got it wrong, it would show, it would be like a screen and a picture of a monster.
They had different ones.
There were different
ones. It was a good selection.
It was good.
They had the high scores.
Different.
Well, I think it might be online. We'll put in a link for
that. Don't worry, y'all.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
What were we talking about?
Bees.
Oh, yeah. Bert.
So, Ted Hughes.
Yeah.
And Bert. But Ted Hughes, back on, whoop!
Bart.
Ted, he was like, hey, Sylvia, just kidding, I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to keep bees. She was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write poetry about these bees.
I'm going to rip your bees apart.
I'm going to smash your bees.
One by one.
And
you just had to target the queen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, don't. What? Bees are...
I know.
We need the bees.
I know.
Do not target the queen.
That's saying.
Sexist.
No, she's the matriarch.
No,
what are you talking about?
That's literally sexism. As if women aren't oppressed enough in this society, Lydia. Are you a Mennonist?
Are we doing cancel culture? Excuse
me. Sis, you're canceled. Sorry, Lydia's gone. Welcome to Brain Sick, hosted by Andrew and Alita.
Hello.
Go take a shot of water.
I'm done with my bottle.
We love you. You're always loved.
I made the thing.
Canceled.
I made this.
Canceled.
Y'all both can get out.
Water.
She's canceled. Lydia can't leave. Okay.
I just spilled water all over myself.
I remember we talked about how cool bees are.
We did. In literature.
Save the bees. Hug the bees.
Don't hug the bees.
You can pet them.
You can if you're your really friend. Careful and you're an elementary school kid. I don't understand. But yeah, it's possible. I've witnessed it.
What was that book?
Secret Life of Bees.
How does Andrew?
I know everything.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's a hat. Keeps my brain cooking.
Oh, melting.
Yeah.
Brain melt.
Yeah.
Brain sick. We're full circle.
Whoa, what's with the brain? There's a lot of brain going on around here. This brain melt or this brain sick.
Do we not?
I didn't even realize.
I have a friend named Brian who we call Brain.
Same with Brian.
We all Wilson, have brains.
My friend Brian, huh?
Brain what? Wilson.
Brain Wilson.
We do have brains.
We all have brains. Whoa. This microphone kind of looks like a brain.
Little cerebral. Little bit of cephalization going on here, babies.
Yeah. Oh my god. I listened to Yee.
Anaconda.
Yay.
Oh, by Con.
Is it Yay?
Yay.
I just keep reading it.
Yay!
Yee.
It's Yeehaw!
Okay. It's even okay. Though it makes sense because it's Kanye.
Yes, my name is Albert Einstein and I'm married my cousin. Yay.
The theory of relativity.
Yay. Feel free to cancel us.
Please do.
I feel like I've offended at least everyone in this episode.
You know what? We have to do everyone. It's good. If we're going to do it, we can't be selective.
You're right.
Equality.
You're right.
That's how do you do it.
That's how you do it.
Oh my god.
How do we do it? Fool. Are we aiming for the snack?
Yeah.
Snack doesn't deserve that. No step on snack. No snack.
You're right. All right. Where were we?
For more context, Andrew just shot a rubber band at his wall.
His wall snack.
Yeah.
No step.
He does not have an actual snack yet.
He has a doge. He's watching over us. No matter where you are in the
He's
room,
good.
His eyes
yeah.
follow you.
Wait, dead ass though. Hold up.
I feel like we need to take a panorama of your room
I'm
so
okay
people understand what we're talking about.
That's fine by me.
You're just like shook right now.
Should I need to cover him?
No matter where you go, he follows.
He's like the Dorian Gray.
Yeah. He never ages.
Yeah.
No, that's the opposite.
I was thinking more Mona Lisa.
Yeah. He's the Alpha and the Omega.
Mona Lisa. Oh, my bones.
Osteoporosis.
My guy.
She's shrinking.
Condensed. So tiny.
But let's make her even smaller. Okay, let's talk about bees.
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about you and bees. There's one poem titled The Arrival of the Bee Box.
The Not the Bee Box.
Ooh.
Bring the bee in. Anything for your bee box.
I don't know.
You know it, right?
What?
It's like
I don't even know what I know.
It's like, bring the bee in. And then it's like, I think it's a kid. And he's like carrying a bee. And he's like, anything for you, Beyonce.
I have no idea.
We're on culture.
One where it's like, and the bee got sick. And it's like sad. And like the bee's like in bed. And it's like, and the bee got sick. And it's like, no. I'm like, rest in
Poor
peace.
Bees.
It's like dead.
Press F.
F, 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 F. Smash that F key.
I'm just bringing it all in today. This is going to be 2 hours long.
We're good.
We are good.
Always.
You're good. You're beautiful.
I'm good. Yeah.
You're beautiful.
Thank
you're
you.
You're beautiful.
You too.
You're beautiful.
We're beautiful. Mm-hmm. We're all beautiful. Everyone listening, you're all beautiful.
We're all beautiful.
Or insert positive attitude of choice if you're not comfortable with the word beautiful.
Yeah.
You're cool.
You're gorgeous.
Swagalicious.
You're something. I'm gonna cancel
you're
that.
You're swanky.
One.
I'm
gonna cancel you.
You're swindly new. That's just not.
You're the bee's knees.
You're the bee's knees. Okay, going back to bees.
The bee. I'm just imagining like those when they map out plots.
Yeah.
And then it goes on these like little
flowcharts. Yeah. We're like on the far. We're taking
loops.
The scenic route.
Oh my god, all the way around.
But it's like loops that don't connect. So it's like it's like woo. It's like we're doing like what do you call it?
Figure
like,
eights.
Yeah, figure eights.
But we're not overlapping.
But then we just whoa. We then go a different direction.
We'll come back eventually.
Oh. Hello. Arrival of the B-Box. Here's B-Box.
B-Box.
You really messed up my brain. I was like, B-Box? No.
Brain sick.
My brain is the sickest. Here's a little quote from this poem. I lost it.
No, the arrival of the poem.
The arrival of the poem. There are no windows, so I can't see what is in there. There is only a little grid, no exit. I put my eye to the grid. It is dark, dark, with the swarmy feeling of African hands, minute and shrunk for export, black on black, angrily clamoring. Why y'all losing it? This is serious.
You're right.
You're so right.
No, it's okay. You're allowed to laugh. Poetry is just supposed to make you feel things, whatever that thing is.
I was shocked. I was not prepared.
For African hands?
I forgot how good it was.
Her writing.
Yeah.
And also, maybe why some people might
are upset.
A little problematic.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Okay.
Should I feel bad for laughing?
No.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I just find it.
I was just shocked.
No, that's okay.
All right.
That's a totally natural human response to a shocking thing.
You look like you're.
Yeehaw.
Like a spelunking.
Oh, I was thinking either a farmer or a safari tour guide.
My asthma's so bad, so I'm just wheezing. Just wheezing.
Line 8.
What?
Where were we?
Oh, yeah.
The poem's not over.
No.
Right.
She's not over yet. Black on black, angrily clamoring. How can I let them out? It is the noise that appalls me most of all. The unintelligible syllables. I like this part. It is like a Roman mob. Small, taken one by one, but my God, together. I lay my ear to furious Latin. I am not a Caesar. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I have simply ordered a box of maniacs. They can be sent back. They can die. I need feed them nothing. I am the owner.
Ooh.
I really seem to be
hungry.
I like these bees.
Yeah. I just feel like I can imagine the life where she didn't have a psycho husband who bought a bunch of bees and brought them onto their property. And then she like wrote a poem about how cool bees are.
Yeah.
How much she loves like bees frolicking in the fields.
Like her first poem, like fireflies twinkle.
Yeah. Not like, I can let the fireflies die. I am the owner.
I am their owner. They can starve.
No exit.
Yeah, it's just like, he like ruined bees for her. But yeah, it's just the perspective.
He ruined a lot of things for her. Bees did not deserve this.
They did
not. So, 1961 to 1962, around the time of the bees. Ted Hughes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
this is necessary.
It is. You have to tell them about why I'm laughing so hard right now. I
was in fourth grade in elementary school. My room is a time capsule.
It's why this is so off the tracks. There's so much to look at.
There's...
Oh, that's it.
It's I think it's adding to the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I think we should take a panorama. So
yeah.
What you can do at home is while you're listening to the podcast and obviously not doing anything else other than listening to the podcast because it requires...
Your entire undivided attention.
Exactly. Yes. So we're going to take the panorama and then you need to find software yourself that's going to look at the photo and scroll it 360, just kind of nonstop.
Do it on Facebook.
Okay, perfect. So it'll just be like you're sitting in a chair in the middle of the room, kind of just spinning in a really slow circle. And then you'll understand what we're going through.
Can we actually do that?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Anyway, explain.
So in fourth grade or so, I got involved. So I only ever played two sports in my life, really, growing up. I did bowling with my best friend and his twin brother, the one who pet the bees.
Right.
What a guy. Tim.
So many Tims.
And Will. And
Tim.
And Will.
And my high score was 92, which... And I have a trophy that says I got a high score of 92 in bowling. And I was second place.
Oh, isn't it out of like 300?
It's not worthy of a trophy. But I was second place. So like it actually was. Kids are not good at bowling. We had the rails too and everything, I think.
Oh my god. Anyways. Wait, with rails? Yeah.
I don't know.
Wait, no, that's okay. That's okay.
Honestly, it could be harder.
Honestly,
yeah. No. I mean... No. Yeah, maybe.
I would use the angles,
exactly.
like a pinball machine.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, cool. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
So I got involved in martial arts. So I don't know what we were doing, but
it's a metaphor. He's so crazy.
Don't mess with nicotine.
Don't do it.
That's all I'm gonna say. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay. Wait, Andrew. Sorry, continue with your story.
Just don't get a nicotine addiction.
Addiction.
Math monsters. They will find you. If you get a nicotine addiction, the math monsters will murder you. Continue.
Martial arts.
92.
So there were these... dare I say, bastards. Their thing was just stealing money from. I'm going at this from like the angry angle
for
now.
Sure.
That's fine. You've been so nice about it till now. Every time you.
It's true. I just can't. I just imagine being in my parents' shoes.
Yeah.
So. They were running a martial arts program. I'm going to save, like, the kicker for the end here.
Please.
Okay. So, they're running a martial arts... It's a self-defense system based in Taekwondo. So, it's not Taekwondo, but it's based... Which is, like, one of the good ones. I should point that out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. For sure.
But... Okay, so we went, so there's like five elementary schools in the district. They did it at one of the schools in their multi-purpose room.
So this was endorsed by the school.
They definitely like worked it out with the school district, and they have this place they were doing it at. I hope so. What if they just like found a key somewhere, and they were just like, huh? Like, I don't know. There's so many unanswered questions going into this.
Yeah, dang.
I just don't know. So we'd go there like twice a week in the evening as it started to get dark, and we do this. We do this whole thing. Do your warm ups, do your exercises, you do the crap, and then it's like they show you the moves. And like all I really remember were these moves. Was like how you deflect a punch, and so you stand there, right? And you're like your stance.
Oh, we're getting
right?
Oh, okay.
And so if someone throws a punch at you, you go. What that does is it deflects it outside because like it's coming like punch me.
No, I don't want to.
Slowly.
You're scary.
Slowly. See? And then you're off. And then if I want, I can like and then I like dodge you, right? So
that's what you got.
So this is what I learned. The thing is, though, we did sparring with actual kids where it was, like, hands-on. And this kid was a dick. He was just punching me. I was punching him back. This was like, unsupervised, like, child-like dog fighting going on.
Do you think they're placing bets?
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe. No one was just left to kill each other if we wanted to. It didn't get to that point. Yes. But we kept going, and like, so I got to yellow belt first degree. So yes. That's not very far.
Yes.
I want to point out. So that's like, it's like a yellow belt. There's like one black stripe on it.
Okay, how many are there?
Two or three.
It goes like white, yellow,
green
progression. Of
all
things.
Every single martial art's different. It's the stupidest thing.
Shoot,
it's the
really?
Stupidest thing.
Huh.
Black slaves at the top. Don't
is
get me
it
wrong.
Blue?
But, okay. No, I think one of them is red at the top.
What the
I don't even know.
No,
that's the one thing that I felt like I could trust. I don't know, because there's so many types of martial arts.
There are so many types. They're all bad.
Howdy, y'all.
Okay.
Yes.
Please, we need to finish this.
I wanted my green belt, but I never
had the chance.
Got it.
Because
it's not. I didn't quit. I didn't fail my exam.
He's so mad.
One day, everybody showed up. Everybody.
Parents?
Yeah, they dropped the kids off and everything. So, in total, I'm going to say there's, like, okay, I'm going to say, like, 100 people there.
Because
there's 50 kids or something, and then there's all their parents and all
for
that
sure.
stuff, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, everyone's there, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. And then they don't show up. They're gone. And the phone number is disconnected. And the checks that everyone wrote them for the whole year are cashed.
Their God's gone.
So everyone signed up for this year-long martial arts thing. They did 3 months, maybe. And then they skipped town. It's like the Bob's Burgers episode with the guy with the baseball camp. It's exactly what it is.
How did you think of that episode of Drake and Josh where they hire a team of people to move their furniture?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that also really happens. Yeah.
Oh, but do you see? Do you?
Okay.
Can you
so
read
the kicker,
it?
The thing, the reason. Okay, so 8-year-old me is not responsible for this shit.
No,
but
no.
If it were just my parents,
yeah,
I would understand. I would really understand.
But it was everyone.
Because we're just a bunch of white people. We don't know how this works.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
But my placard in here for martial arts reads MARSHALL arts. Like it's martial's arts.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Yeah, you see it now. Yeah.
Didn't process. I was like, yes, Marshall. I was like, yes, sir. I was like, okay. Okay,
oh
Marshall.
My god.
Okay, you know what else I really didn't see until now? It's
oh my god.
It says it's based in Taekwondo, but it says this is my karate belt.
For that. It's white out and over it.
I don't understand how nobody realized this.
Yeah.
Marshall. Maybe they did, but they were like, oh, it's quirky.
It's good for kids or something.
They were like, oh, the guy who runs it is Marshall.
And I was like, I was going, sensei and everything.
Oh my god. No. Sensei Taylor Aiden.
Yeah.
My favorite part is that
that's not a real name.
On your wall.
Yeah, you keep it up
it's
there.
It's a
staple.
I don't know what it is.
The whiteout is the best part. do they forget what?
Your name is printed.
Yeah,
but then the yellow third is whited out and written in Sharpie.
They thought I was gonna fail
or maybe they thought you were gonna get to green. That is
wow.
I mean, someone probably found out. Someone was like, wait a second, and then they booked it, right?
But then were they gonna do the whole thing? Huh. Well, maybe yeah. Marshall just wanted a shot.
Okay, anyways, that was my tirade for
that was
really good.
Are we still not editing this?
No, we're not.
No, of course not.
Just double checking.
I wanna I'm gonna take that clip specifically and send it to my boy because like everyone in his family does
martial
arts. Martial arts!
Martial arts! It has like the yin yang on it. It has like all this like Asian.
That is it's even more blasphemous. It doesn't have the dots in the center of the yin yang.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Which is like the whole thing of
like the
yin yang.
Is that there's a little bit of
good
and the bad, a little bit of bad. It's good, like a little bit of white and black.
Yeah, but it's not. It's
it's just
clip art.
It's a minimalist take on yin
Wow. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You have a great story, though.
Yeah.
Imagine if that didn't happen. You'd just be like, oh, I, like, learned martial arts or whatever.
Yeah, you would have never known.
Like, that's so lame. If you were just like, yeah, I'm like a black belt. Yeah. As opposed to
this story.
Yellow third belt from martial arts.
Martial Spencer Taylor Aiden.
M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L.
Wow.
Oh,
we can't top that.
There's so much left.
No, don't worry.
Okay,
all right.
Don't worry.
We'll get there.
New worries.
We're going to do this.
Okay, yes. Back on track. Track. Backtrack.
Zoom.
From 1961 to 1962, a favorite individual, Ted Hughes, begins an affair with Acia Weevil, who she sounds like
weasel.
A weasel. Yeah, she sounds like a little. I'm just kidding.
I mean, they were both consensual. I mean,
they were.
If we're gonna blame anyone, let's blame Ted.
Yeah, who is allegedly and most likely abusive.
Yeah,
or was, we should say, rest in peace or whatever. because he also didn't treat his mistress well. But anyway, she was one half of a couple,
right.
So she was married. She had a little baby
they
girl.
Both have.
Oh wait, no, she didn't. I'm so sorry. The baby was 10. But they were renting their flat to her, which I feel like is just like wrong. Like you're like sharing your living space with someone, and then you're like, hey, let's get it on.
Okay, wait. So. Was it, like, a separate property they owned that they were renting, or were they, like, literally all living under the same roof?
I believe it was a separate property, but
okay.
I'm honestly not sure.
Okay.
Regardless.
It was not good, either. It's,
yeah.
It's not like, better either way, but, like...
But it does change
just,
like, in the
yeah.
other room.
Yeah.
It makes it a little less shocking if it's, like, yeah, a little more distance. For sure. And they... oh. In June 1962, before she knew about the affair, Plath had a car accident, which is one of her many alleged suicide attempts. And then Plath and Hughes separate in September of that year. So a little bit after this car accident, she finds out about his affair. And they separate. So in the final period of her life, starting from October 1962, she has a huge outburst of creativity.
Oh yeah.
She writes a whole lot of poetry, so much. A lot of the writings for which she is now famously known, in fact, and at least 26 of the poems in her posthumous collection Ariel come from this time period. So this was a collection of poems put together, I believe. Yeah, because they were separated but not divorced.
Right.
Important distinction
Which,
to make.
Yeah.
Gotta get that official.
Yeah. Write your wills and get your divorces.
Get your affairs in order.
Your affairs.
Like, I hope she like haunted him as a ghost.
Yeah. Possible. It's cool because a lot of her fans were pissed at him and they like harassed him.
Good.
They were like, "No, you treated Sylvia
and now
like shit, and you're gonna pay for it."
Yeah, yeah.
Like we're gonna. Canceled. Someone like threatened to kill him, which like that's not cool.
No,
but like you can harass. I will endorse that. In December of 1962, she returned to London with her two children, her two little bitty children, the daughter and her son. So she's single mothering it. And this northern winter of 1962 to 1963 was one of the coldest in a century. To give you a little bit of an idea of what that looked like, the pipes froze over in their house, and her two children were often sick, and the house didn't have a working telephone. So, really just isolated, cut off, and...
Winter Wonderland.
Surprise, surprise, her depression returned.
Whoa.
Yeah. But she continued writing her poetry, doing what she loved, chilling with her kids. And also, she published The Bell Jar in January of 1963 under the pen name of Victoria Lucas.
Oh, and I remember I read in the introduction that she wanted to do that because she didn't want to offend or make anyone feel bad, since she kind of based her characters on people she knew, so she wanted to keep them from feeling bad.
That's
even though everyone knew it was her.
Yeah.
She seems like she was, like, a very caring person, and there were a lot of people in her life who loved her and cared about her, and, like, were there for her. One of these people, Dr. John Horder, was her general practitioner and close friend. So, Sylvia spoke to him January of 1963, around the publication of Bell Jar, and she was describing the current depressive episode she was experiencing. So, this had been ongoing for 6 or 7 months, and although she was still functioning, like, she was a highly functioning person, her depression had definitely worsened and become more severe. It was marked by constant agitation, suicidal thoughts, and inability to cope with daily life.
There we go.
Yeah.
Check.
DSM. Hello. She also was struggling with insomnia, and she lost 20 pounds.
Ooh. You need that.
You do. And especially for her, we'll post images of her. Like, she was a very beautiful woman, and she was also, like, she had a slim figure, like, just naturally. Mm-hmm. So losing that 20 pounds was really significant. She was looking gaunt, and very,
malnourished.
Yeah, malnourished. Despite this, she continued to take care of her physical appearance, like, as much as she could. And she didn't really talk about these feelings. Like, she didn't speak to John Horder until she was 6 or 7 months into her depressive episode. Yeah, so she was still not really, like, opening up about these things to people, which just seems like an ongoing struggle throughout her life. She described the way that she felt as owl's talons clenching my heart.
It's so powerful.
Yeah, really strong. Visual. So, Dr. Horder prescribed her an antidepressant, a monoamine oxidase inhibitor, but this was prescribed a few days before her suicide, and typically antidepressants will take a few weeks
to kick in. We talked about this, but basically what happens is you take the antidepressant, and before your mood increases, your energy increases, which gives you the energy.
Gives like a high risk period.
Yes.
Because, yeah, you now have energy
to act on what's happened in your head.
Yeah. Within a couple of days, though, she might not have.
It might not have even
been having any real action.
Yeah.
If anything, more of like either like, I'm sure they communicated this to her, but either just like you feel like you're taking it and it's not helping. And like that frustration of it still not feeling any better. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that could definitely be a factor, too. But yeah, either way, She was prescribed this, and he was really trying to help her out. Like, John Porter, he was visiting her daily, and he was really strongly recommending that she should be admitted to, like, a mental facility. But she was very strongly adamant that she stay in her house. She stay at home. I don't know for sure, but I wonder if maybe because, like, she wanted to take care of her kids.
And maybe her bad experiences.
Yeah, and her prior experiences in the hospitals. So, he was like, okay, if you're not going to leave the house, then I'm going to have a live-in nurse come and take care of y'all. So, the nurse was scheduled to arrive the morning, 9 in the morning of February 11th, 1963. And she was unable to get into their flat. She was knocking, and she was, like, trying the door, and it was locked. No one was answering. So, she was helped in with a by workman, Charles, and they opened the door to discover that Plath was in the kitchen with her head in the oven, and she was pronounced dead of carbon monoxide poisoning.
So to clarify, she didn't bake her head. No. She just, like, cut a something to release all the...
Yeah, so it wasn't the heat, it was, well, she turned the gas on, but it was like
the carbon monoxide.
It was the carbon
monoxide. So it's like the equivalent of the car
imported
from the pipe.
Definitely. Yeah. Something that's like really like bittersweet. It's really like sweet in the saddest way is that she had sealed the room between her and her sleeping children with tape and towels and cloths to make sure that they weren't affected.
Gives me a little hurtful.
Yeah. And it also, I feel like it demonstrates how much of the wrong mindset she was in, like, at how much she was struggling, because, like, she was looking out for her children and, like, she was still taking care of them, but, like, she still took her own life, you know? Like, this separation between, like, she was still able to see that, like, but, like, also, like, the inability to see long run that, like, the best way to take care of her children would be to be there for them, not to, like, seal them off while she took her own life. So, I don't know. It's a complicated. They believe that, like, the people who examined the scene, they believe that she did this around 4:30 a.m., so it would have been hours.
Before the nurse.
Yeah, before the nurse was scheduled to show up. And she was only 30 years old. But wait, there's more.
Yeah. Always.
Of course. So, Ted Hughes pops into the picture.
Just when things get interesting.
Of course. Of course. And when it's his responsibility as her legal husband to take care of the state of affairs, he was devastated.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes. And he wrote to one of Plath's old friends, "That's the end of my life. The rest is posthumous."
Sure.
Sure. Her gravestone, which is inscribed with, "Even in Miss Fierce Flames, the Golden Lotus can be planted." That's a quote chosen by Hughes, and he also chose to have it engraved with the name Sylvia Plath Hughes.
Ugh.
Yeah. A lot of people have gone to this gravestone and vandalize it.
God bless.
Yeah, to like remove the Hughes at the end of her name, so it just reads Sylvia Plath. And this happened like multiple times. Every time he would get it replaced, but someone would invariably pop up.
This is the kind of vigilantes we need.
Yeah,
seriously,
stick up for who you believe in.
And I realized I was looking through my Sylvia Plath collection, and the introduction is by.
Yeah.
Bless you. Ted Hughes. And I was like, what the? Because we had talked about it. I was like, can you? And I, if anyone knows me, and both of these people can attest to this, I love my books. I take very good care of them. I do not dog ear. I do not highlight like that. I can't handle it, but I ripped out those pages of Ted Hughes' introduction, and we're going to burn it later.
Yeah.
That's how strongly...
You should burn it after this.
Yeah, let's do it. You said my problem.
We'll get there.
Y'all will see.
Y'all see it.
We'll post a boomerang on our story. Yeah. Hashtag fuck Ted Hughes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's
like the audacity, honestly.
Yeah. And that's like also some of the controversy surrounding her posthumous publications, because the only ones that were published by her were her collection, The Colossus and The Bell Jar.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else that is out there was like curated by people who like just like who came into possession of her works.
Mm-hmm.
And that person for the main part was Ted Hughes, because he was her husband and he had access to everything, and she didn't write a will. So, you know, legally it's all his. Yeah, which is just a huge bummer. Something real interesting is that Hughes' mistress, Isia Weevil, six years after Platt took her own life, she killed herself and her and Hughes' 4-year-old daughter in a very similar manner.
Mm.
She dragged a mattress into the kitchen of her flat, dissolved sleeping tablets into a glass of water, and then gave it to the child, who is believed to be Hughes' child.
Mm.
It's not confirmed. Gave herself, then finished it off. And similarly to Plath, she turned on the gas stove and got into the bed with her daughter.
Mm.
The two of them went to sleep.
Mm.
Yeah.
That just tells you what a guy Ted Hughes was.
Yes. Their relationship deteriorated, and Weevil is also credited with claiming that he was abusive to her. And yeah, with the whole, with Sylvia Plath, like, all of the aftermath of her death and his involvement in that, and like Weevil also being thrust into the limelight, all of this just came together. And she...
Yeah. I could never live up to the image of Sylvia Plath and how she went out and all her works and stuff, and him suddenly being completely devastated. His wife passing.
Yeah. That's just a complicated, messy situation. But this mostly wraps up with what I wanted to talk about. I do want to talk about the Bell Jar a little bit more, but I also wanted to say, just like, why are we talking about Sylvia Plath? Because, for, like, I'd heard about her before, maybe a couple years ago, and I didn't really see anything too special in her. But she, her work has been really meaningful to a lot of people, and y'all should definitely go and read more of her works, because the little snippets that we've mentioned here do not do her justice.
Wasn't there something you said about reading? It was her own audio, right?
Yes, there are a couple of videos online on YouTube or wherever else you find video clips of her reading her own works, which, yeah, that's really powerful, because it's a little haunting as well, because she sounds so normal. She sounds like a woman just reading some literature. Poetry. There was one, I believe the video I specifically found was her reading the one about her miscarriage, Parliament House, something like that. Sorry. Parliament Hill Fields. So yeah, her reading that one. It's like really moving. It
she was well known and well respected in the community. She had friends, and she was just so prolific and well written that it was a real big shock to everyone. And because she had kept this really dark part of herself to herself, it was shocking to hear about the way that she took her own life and how young she was, and this whole situation opened up the conversation about mental health and about suicide and depression. Her writings, especially in The Bell Jar, opened up the conversation about the treatment of psychiatric patients. Definitely. Yes, about hospitals, the conditions there. And she's also, like, viewed as a feminist icon.
Yeah, there was this really nice passage in The Bell Jar, and I already forgot the specifics of it, but they were talking about, like, being a wife and all that stuff, and it was an article, and she was like, it seems like they took everyone's opinion into account except the woman. Like, what's up with that? Yeah! Go!
Yeah, and that's... Dang.
Dude, yeah, it was good. I really liked her voice, too. Her writer's voice throughout The Bell Jar. I found it very engaging. And it wasn't what I expected. I kind of expected it to be more old-timey, I guess.
Yeah.
With, I don't know what else, with Victorian, like, I don't know. But but it was very, like, snappy and witty and quick, and I really enjoyed it. So. Turkey gizzards. Giblets, was it? I will never recover. You guys should read it. You'll understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop laughing.
I read a lot of just snippets of poems throughout the collection that you have, which I think kind of...
You recommended when we first, the first date or second date.
Aww. You were talking about stuff. I didn't just bring it up out of nowhere.
No, but I remember...
He was like, by the way.
just out of the silence. No, but I remember you being like, you would enjoy reading Sylvia Plath. And I was like, oh no. I need to, so I went to, like, Avid Reader, and I bought this.
That's why I have it.
Oh, that's really cute.
But yeah, it's very, you had a quote last time about, like, it's very serious.
Yeah, there's a really, I was watching a TED Ed video that was, it was saying, like, why should we read Sylvia Plath? Like, why is she important?
I love those.
Like, yeah, they do those little videos just talking about, like, influential people. And the probably one of the more famous quotes is, I saw my life branching out before me like the green fig tree in the story. From the tip of every branch, like a fat purple fig, a wonderful future beckoned and winked. One fig was a husband and a happy home and children. And another fig was a famous poet. And another fig was a brilliant professor. And another fig was E.G., the amazing editor. And another fig was Europe and Africa and South America. And another fig was Constantine and Socrates and Attila and a pack of other lovers with queer names and offbeat professions. And another fig was an Olympic lady crew champion. And beyond and above these figs were many more figs I couldn't quite make out. I saw myself sitting in the crotch of this fig tree, starving to death. Just because I couldn't make up my mind which of the figs I would choose. I wanted each and every one of them, but choosing one meant losing all the rest. And as I sat there, unable to decide, the figs began to wrinkle and go black, and one by one, they plopped to the ground at my feet. It's just really powerful imagery.
I think we have a fruit theme going on. Fruits and veggies thing. This is like the future figs. We have our radiant radishes. We have our tubular turnips. I'm seeing a trend. I think I know.
Eat your veggies.
And
your figs.
Diabetes? No.
Veggies. Yeah.
Eat your veggies. Isn't that... Never mind.
Listen to your doctors and don't get kicking.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it.
Well, thank you for making it this far.
Oh my God.
A good one.
We're approaching
it really
to a good
was.
One. That was good. I feel good.
That was good.
I came into this kind of tired, kind of worn down, but I feel refreshed.
I know. I generally feel like rejuvenated.
Good. I'm incredible. We hope you do too.
Yeah. At home. All you listeners.
God, thank if you. If you're listening to this right now, you're a real one.
Trooper. Seriously.
You can stop the panorama video.
Your exploration.
You can relax. You can rest your eyes. Have a cup of tea.
Just relax.
Chill. Please. Have one on us. You're brain sick. This is Andrew.
Lydia.
Alita.
Until next week.
Eat your veggies.